Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
The transfer rumour mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and we're talking Sheffield tonight. Not something I often do. I actually was very surprised. I went to Sheffield once. Turns out it's lovely. Very, very green. But it's red this week, not just because Sheffield United play in those colours. It's red because the blue half, Wednesday, are absolutely furious with their boss, Steve Bruce. It's looking like he is going to jump ship. The deal seems to be virtually done and go to Newcastle United. Of course, that role is vacant after Rafa Benitez couldn't renew his new contract and headed off to China and all of the excellent football that it brings. And I don't get why Bruce is getting slagged off. I understand that he's leaving Sheffield Wednesday in the lurch. That is what happens when a football manager leaves a team. They're at a very delicate point Wednesday, as any football club is in July. That's what's happening. You've got a month left until the season starts. You're thinking very, very carefully. You've just come back to pre-season. Okay, what kind of coaching drills are we doing? How are we getting the team in place? How are we getting that defence stable? How are we getting the attack so that it's incisive and balancing that midfield? It's delicate, and I completely get, 100%, that relies on having a consistency of manager. It relies on having commitment from that manager, and it relies on having that manager on board. And yeah, okay, Steve Bruce has caused a problem. He's left Sheffield Wednesday in the lurch. And there's backstory here as to why the Owls fans are quite so grumpy about this whole situation. When he agreed to join them, he was actually on holiday in, I think, Barbados, certainly somewhere in the West Indies. He was off watching cricket, just having a breather. Fair enough. He does an incredibly stressful job. He'd been doing it for a long time. And they said, Steve, listen, we're confident that we can get out of the Championship in the next couple of years. We're confident you're the man to get us out of it. Will you be our new boss? And he said, well, lads, I will, but it's actually very warm here and I'm watching the cricket. So if I can finish my holiday, we'll link up at the end. They said yes, which is bonkers, right? They made that concession. Doesn't happen. If I tried that here, I'd get sacked. No one would be having it. But they said yes, fine. The result was he didn't join until the very back end of last season. So he's effectively jumping ship without doing the job at all, despite taking, presumably, a decent whack of money, and is now asking for compensation, if rumours are to be believed. So, okay, he's not covered himself in glory. But if you open Twitter and you search Steve Bruce's name, or you search Sheffield Wednesday, bear in mind, this is a man who's got a rich history with Newcastle. It's being spun by some as a romantic story, a homecoming, the kind of narrative that we like in football. But most people aren't being so gentle. Search his name. What you'll see is words like traitor, words like Judas, and the total character of assassination of a man who is doing what anybody would do. He's been offered a job, upper division. He's, I assume, being offered a pay rise, and he's gone, all right, thanks very much. Fine. As I said, you leave a club, you leave them in the lurch. Fine. If I quit my job tomorrow, my employer would be in the lurch for a day. They'd find a new presenter in exactly the same way that Sheffield Wednesday are about to find a new boss. That's something we're going to be talking about later in the show with Chris Holt of the Sheffield Star. I just don't get why Bruce is getting his head kicked in. When you leave a job, they're in trouble. It's that straightforward. Relax. He took a job. Get a new manager. Get a better manager. Prove him wrong and move on. But talking of bold and controversial managerial decisions, we are, of course, here to talk about transfers. We're here to cut through the noise of the transfer rumour mill. And there have been a couple of transfers. One confirmed, and another actually just confirmed today, which have both made me raise an eyebrow. Ravel Morrison has gone to Sheffield United, and equally for Norwich, another promoted side, they've signed Sam Byram from West Ham, the right back, cost them £750,000. Sounds like a bargain. He's in his early 20s. He's English. He was once rated as one of the finest defensive prospects in the land. He's been a total injury crock for the past 2 years. Went on loan to Nottingham Forest. I'm still in Crystal Palace fan mode. Went on loan to Nottingham Forest last season and only made 8 appearances because his knee was so ruined. The reason why I bring these names up together is if you heard that Sheffield United had signed Ravel Morrison in 2012, and if you heard that Norwich had signed Byram in 2014, you would be going ballistic. What a signing! Sheffield United have signed English football's golden child, the ultimate prodigy, supposedly the next Gazza, the latest next Gazza, the man who's going to win us a World Cup. He's going to finally bring it home. Fast forward a few years to 2019, and Ravel Morrison, despite being rated as the most talented player virtually to ever come out of United, and we're including Becks in this, we're including Scholes, we're including Giggs, completely ruined his career. He was part of that all-conquering youth team. He played with Jesse Lingard. He played with Paul Pogba. He was meant to be better than them all. He scored twice in an FA Youth Cup final. Went to West Ham because he annoyed Alex Ferguson because he wasn't training, wasn't turning up, kept getting in trouble with the police. Didn't work at all at West Ham. 18 Premier League appearances in 3 years. And the loans start coming. When you see a player really going on loan the whole time, you know he's in trouble. Birmingham City, QPR, Cardiff City, didn't work at any of them. He then goes to Lazio. And that was in 2015. And even at that point, I'm looking at that and going, Ravel, mate, you are dining out on your reputation from when you were 12, effectively. You were very good at football in the playground, and Europe's elite are still buying it. 4 years at Lazio. How many Serie A appearances? I would say get in touch with me on 0208 7020 558, but you're not going to guess it right. 4 years, four. Four appearances. Brilliant. That's a good return, isn't it? Again, loan moves. QPR, again, five appearances, no goals. Atlas in Mexico, 18 appearances, three goals. Last season, he did a stint at Östersund in Sweden, six appearances, no goals. I've seen Östersund play live. I've seen them beat Arsenal humiliatingly. They're not that good at football. They're really not. They were managed by Graham Potter, who's now at Brighton. But this is a team made up of guys who have done good things in domestic African leagues or have failed to break through at all in England. I'm not talking failed to break the Premier League. I'm saying these are non-league footballers. And he got a move there and he couldn't make it. I'm a big fan of Wilder, who's the Sheffield United boss, Chris Wilder. But this is arrogant. And this is what I haven't seen anyone say yet. Signing Ravel Morrison in 2019, signing a 26-year-old Ravel Morrison, even on just a year's deal, so you know that really he doesn't trust him. He knows it's a gamble. It's arrogant. It's stupid. It's absolutely farcical. What he's doing is he's looking at a player who was highly rated at 18 and at one point in time probably did have the potential to be really world class and saying, well, you know what, Sir Alex Ferguson couldn't do it and neither could Harry Redknapp and neither could any of the managers of Lazio, neither could Graham Potter, but I, Chris Wilder, am the man to finally unlock the world class potential of Ravel Morrison, even though he's well past any kind of age where he can develop in any meaningful way. It's nonsense. This is a big opportunity for Ravel. No, it's not. This is a big opportunity for Ravel to go off the rails, to not play any football, to not score any goals, and be, frankly, a waste of everybody's time. Now, Ravel, if you're listening, prove me wrong. I would love to be proven wrong here. If Ravel Morrison goes full Jamie Vardy and puts a perhaps slightly lively pass behind him and becomes a crucial Premier League player and an England star, I'll be delighted. But for a manager to just go, well, yeah, he was really good on Football Manager. What are you doing? What are you doing? You cannot just sign the wonder kids of yesteryear and expect them to turn up. Because if we think about these guys who are highly rated in video games, which, let's be honest, is all we're actually dealing with in Morrison's hype, how many of them who flop do it? Francis Jeffers, flop. Hopeless. He didn't recover. Jermaine Pennant, arguably, played in a Champions League final. Now in quite a bit of trouble, left, right and centre. Let's think of others. Cherno Samba. No, hopeless. Barely played any football. Freddie Adu. Blackpool on loan was the highlight. Blackpool on loan. I won't even go to Blackpool for the day, and it definitely wouldn't be a highlight. This is not the solution. You cannot just sign people who used to have potential and expect to magically unlock it because you think you're brilliant. It's the same thing Daniel Farke's doing at Norwich to a less extreme extent. He signed Byram, and to be fair, Byram for 750 grand, good piece of business. He's versatile. That's something that Farke points out. He can play on the wing. He can play at fullback. He's young. He's English. He's homegrown. Yada, yada, yada. Fine. What Farke completely brushes over is the injury record, which is terrible. But more importantly, and the reason why I'm digging him out now, is he overtly references the potential. This is a player with great potential. He hasn't had an easy time, highly rated as a kid. If we can unlock that potential, if we can unlock that potential, we've got a really good signing on our hands. He's 24. How often do footballers after the age of 24, 25, suddenly turn around and become brilliant? Yeah, okay, Vardy, we mentioned him. Ian Wright is the only really world-class footballer who came out of nowhere. You can't just expect magic overnight. It's absolutely hopeless, but maybe I'll be proven wrong. We're going to be talking to experts in a few of these clubs who may say, you know what, Barrow, wind your neck in. We have signed the next Messi. He might be 37, but eventually, if you're highly rated, you've got to be good. I tell you what, producer Josh is going to tell me in the ad break that I've got the potential to go out with Rihanna. And in 40 years, I assume it'll just happen because that's how these things work.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and you'll be pleased to hear that I've calmed down a bit. I've had a moment to catch my breath. You'll also be pleased to hear that producer Josh did tell me I've got the potential to go out in Rihanna. So we'll check out in 40 years and see if that happens. But I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Kevin Gage, who's a Sheffield Star columnist and, of course, Sheffield United compere as well. Good evening, Kevin. Thank you for joining me. I've been on a bit of a rant. I haven't been very kind because I think this one-year deal that the Blades have given Ravel Morrison is absolute nonsense. Change my mind.
I think it's a perfect scenario. Firstly, for Sheffield United, because we get an extremely talented player with an awful lot to prove for virtually nothing. I believe he's on a free transfer.
Yeah,
And we get him with, as I say, everything to prove. He's got the option of another year if he does very well at Sheffield United. I think it's a no-brainer for Sheffield United Football Club and also for the player.
I mean, it's definitely a no-brainer for the player. You are totally out in the cold of European football. You play in Sweden for half a season and suddenly, bam, Premier League football. I'd quite like to try it. I take your point, though, that he's cheap. And this is a guy who certainly has got talent. No one's denying that. But do you think this is a no-risk signing for Sheffield?
Well, financially, yeah, I do think it's a no-risk signing compared to the prices being quoted for, so-called, Premiership stars and Championship players who are not quite proven in the Premier League yet. We're being quoted £10-15 million for strikers who've had one decent season in the Championship. So here we have undoubted ability, as you rightly say, for virtually nothing. And I'm assuming the wages are very realistic as well, because he, as I say, as you rightly said, he's been floating about, virtually nowhere in Sweden for however many months.
Do you worry that there might be a reason for that, Kevin?
A real find for us.
Well, he's a real find. I mean, in terms of the talent, he's 26. Do you think there's time for this talent to emerge?
I think his talent already has emerged, doesn't it? Everybody knows he's got it. It's not a question of it emerging. I think he's got to find himself as a person. And that's been the problem all through his career, of course. I'm not in a position to comment on his previous clubs or his career. I'm the same as everybody else. I've seen bits on YouTube. I've read some articles today on the person and the lad's ability. But everybody seems to be of the same opinion, that he really is a star in the making. And perhaps he's a very late developer, a very late person in his maturity. Perhaps it's going to take him to his mid-20s to actually find himself as a person And I think one of the best people, man management at this moment in time, would be an English manager in Chris Wilder.
Mm.
Up in Sheffield, you know, away from the spotlight in maybe London or Manchester.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And Wilder's certainly backing himself with this job. Do you think a lad who's 26 still has time to bring that potential out?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. They always used to say footballers kind of peak about 27, 28, apparently. I think that's a bit wrong. I think footballers probably peak a bit earlier these days because of their upbringing and the experience they get in the academies and everything.
So do you think he peaked with three goals in 18 in Mexico?
Say that again, sorry.
Do you think he peaked on loan at Atlas in Mexico with three goals in 18?
I think he was obviously exceptionally young talent. Perhaps he was too talented too early, and too much was expected him, and he couldn't handle it. But I certainly think there's time for him to come again. And as I said earlier, under the right management and in the right environment, which I'm sure Sheffield United will provide him with, I think he could be a real superstar.
Mm. Well, I mean, it will be an amazing story if he is. And don't get me wrong, I'm being pretty belligerent here, Kevin, but I would love to see it happen. I love, in a sense, that Sheffield United take the risk. You wouldn't have caught me doing it, but I think it's a hell of a story for us all ahead of this season. My only concern, are you worried about the fact that he could disrupt the dressing room? This is a guy who's not got the best reputation personality-wise, as you alluded to. Wilder likes a mature, close-knit squad. Do you think he's going to be able to make Ravel fit in?
Yes, 100%. Now, you mentioned disrupting the dressing room. I don't think the problems he's had in the past is anything to do with the actual dressing room. It's always been problems off the field and in his personal
life. That's a good point.
And his private life. Now, the very fact that Chris Wilder emphasises the togetherness of a group, and he likes the camaraderie, you know, all the squad being in it together, I think that will help someone like Morrison, because if he can fit into that group of players, then they will help him along. I wouldn't be surprised if Chris is allocating one of the senior players to be kind of a minder to him.
Just, you know, Billy Sharp following him around every Friday night.
Oi, yeah.
Ravel, put it down.
Exactly, yeah. Well, Billy would do that, but Chris Wilder is born and bred in Sheffield, of course. Now, Chris Wilder knows every single drinking venue in Sheffield. So if Raphael Morrison so much as sneezes, Chris Wilder is going to find out about it. Let me tell. And if Chris Wilder he knows everybody as well. All his mates are out in Sheffield all the time. You know, Ravel Morrison won't know where to go to get some picks.
The walls are going to have eyes, are they?
He will have to behave.
Well, that is a wonderful, wonderful line to take out of this. Okay, I tell you what, Kevin, for all of my ranting, you've sold me. I think Ravel, if Chris has really got that many spies on the ground, it could yet work. I just want to ask you about one more potential deal. It's also an attacking one. You're being linked, along with West Ham, to Neil Morpay of Brentford. Of course, he was prolific in the Championship last season, but he wouldn't come cheap. How likely do you think this one is? Would you like to sign him?
Well, we certainly do need a striker. We think we need, if not cover for Billy Sharp, then we certainly need someone, you know, maybe Billy Sharp might not be able to cut it in the Premier League. So we certainly need a Premier League quality striker, and either Morpay fits the kind of bill. I don't think we can buy an established Premier League striker, so we're looking to take a bit of a gamble. Unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be an expensive gamble, because I think we've been quoted £15 million.
I think it'll be probably north of 20.
We've offered £15 million, maybe, and the price may even go up. So it is a bit of an expensive gamble.
Would you take the gamble?
It's one we have to take, I think.
So you'd go for it?
I'd certainly take a chance. If the player's willing and wants to come to Sheffield, I don't want him to see it as like a stepping stone for a year, maybe, you know, for bigger and better things. I think he's got to come up and commit himself to Sheffield. I don't know what's been going on down in London, but we all thought up here it was a kind of a done deal last week, and we all expected him to be unveiled. And it's all kind of gone a bit quiet, so I don't know quite what's happening.
Just a quick one. McGoldrick, what's the situation there? You say you need backup for Billy Sharp. McGoldrick was the player of the year last year. Is he not going to get a look in the higher division?
Well, I'm sure he'll play a part, and I'm sure he will get a look in, yeah. But, you kind of think that McGoldrick at 31 or whatever it is, and Billy Sharp at 33 coming on, you know, have they got the pace and the absolute top quality needed to cut it in the Premier League? Now, Billy keeps making us eat our words every season.
I love him. Right, I absolutely
and
love
him. He ends
him.
Up scoring 20 odd goals.
He scored tonight, by the way, at Sheffield 1, yeah. Burton 1, and Billy Sharp is on the score sheet.
Yeah. But you get the feeling it may be a step too far, and we do need a little bit more. We certainly need a bit of pace up front. Morpay would definitely fit that bill. But if it's not him, I think it's going to need to be someone else.
Wonderful stuff. Well, Kevin, good luck for the season. Thank you for your time. So nice to speak to you. And thank you as well for setting me right on Ravel Morrison and revealing that Chris Wilder sees all. Thanks ever so much. Kevin Gage there, Sheffield Star columnist and, of course, Sheffield United compere as well. He's a man who knows the club very well. If you're just joining us, or indeed, if you're still listening, having been with me for the Crystal Palace fan show, I'm laughing because I've got some bad news. The score is Barnet 5, Crystal Palace 2. How does that even happen? We will move on to more positive things. And Norwich City, of course, going up to the Premier League, joined on the line by Michael Bailey, who's Norwich City correspondent for the Pink Un and the Norwich Evening News. Good evening, Michael. Thank you for joining me. Sam Byram has come in from West Ham for just £750,000, but he's got a very dodgy injury record. Is this good business?
Nah, isn't, Johnny. Yeah. Well, we'll show you the answer to that now. It made life a lot more straightforward, didn't it? I think you'll find Norwich fans will look at that news and see a lot of similarities to how they've done business in the last 2 years, really. I think you'd have found the same question marks over, say, Tim Krul. When Norwich signed him on a 2-year deal as a free agent last year, even Jordan Rhodes to an extent. I have to say, even Joseph Drimic, who they've signed as a free agent this summer as a sort of renewed striker option, there's probably question marks over his injury record in recent years as well. So either Norwich is going to have a squad of crocs, or they're all going to prove themselves. And I think that's kind of the basis of what Norwich have done. In many ways, it's been smart recruitment, but they've also probably had to take risks because they don't have the money, and they'd probably now argue they've got the smallest budget in the Premier League next season. So it's a really interesting one, because I think if Sam Byram has enough about him, then he can be a really good option for them sort of beyond next season, which might be useful if they do end up cashing in on Max Aarons at some point. But I don't think Max will be going anywhere just yet.
Well, I was going to say, given how highly rated Aarons is Byram coming in as first choice or surely backup?
Yeah, no, he. I mean, that's probably the as a result of the question mark over the amount of games he's played. But he will be coming in as backup, I have no doubt about that. Norwich have only got Max Aarons in terms of real right back cover, so had I saw some Crystal Palace fans tweeting earlier this morning suggesting that Byram would be the replacement for Aarons when he then goes in this window, but all that would mean is that Norwich would then have to find another right back, and I think that they're incredibly keen to keep hold of Max Aarons certainly for heading into the Premier League season. So Sam will have to bide his time, but at least Norwich have got two recognised right back, so they can now call on as the season progresses.
Michael, we got a theme on tonight's show, which is wasted potential, because we've been talking about Ravel Morrison, and I've been saying I think that Sheffield United signing is an absolute nonsense. I just want to start quickly by asking you, would you have him at Norwich City?
No, to be honest, I don't think he's track record in terms of attitude would probably make him a player that they would want to recruit. I find the Ravel Morrison one interesting because it's a 1-year deal, which I guess is a degree of another fresh chance for him. But it's doesn't feel like a great deal of backing when you're trying to build around it. But,
yeah, we'll bring you in for a year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Chris Wilder can't get him performing, then I think everyone should give up
Well, we've just been told by Kevin Gage of the Sheffield Star that if Ravel Morrison does try and enjoy a lively night out on the town, he might struggle because Chris Wilder apparently knows so many people in Sheffield that the pubs are all packed with his mates. So, Ravel, if you do want a pint, good luck to you. But I bring up wasted potential also with reference to Byron, Michael, because Farke, when he was talking about the signing, has been saying, well, this is a guy who was highly, highly rated as a kid. Highly, highly rated. And if we can get that potential out of him, we're going to have a gem of a player. He's 25. Surely it's too late for that Football Manager 2014 Sam Byram to suddenly emerge.
Oh, God, not the computer game. I think, I don't know about that. I think if he'd been 27, 28, then I'd probably be inclined to agree with you. But I think 25 is still young enough to have your peak ahead of you. And, I mean, it's a funny mix, isn't it? It's a mix between whatever there was in terms of his ability and attitude that meant he couldn't kick on, and then also in terms of his luck with injuries and fitness. So, you know, it takes a hell of a lot of things to come together to make it in professional football in the first place, never mind what actually happens to you when you get there. I think he's still young enough, certainly, to prove himself. It surprised me, actually, when I looked into it, because I had in my head that Sam had gone to West Ham for a lot more than 3.7 million quid or whatever it was at the time.
It was really good signing at the time.
Exactly. And I guess Norwich will be looking at, you know, their signing and the potential there, and they'll be desperate to unlock it, which is something, again, they've managed to do with some of their signings, not all of them, because they do take a risk. But, I mean, a player who has Premier League experience, signing him for under £1 million when he's still 25, and you look at, say, some of the other right-backs who have gone for 10 times that money, really, you can understand why it's probably a risk Norwich feel they are willing to take.
Yeah, would you rather have one Aaron Wan-Bissaka or 65 Sam Byrams? That is the eternal question. Michael, lovely to speak to you. Thanks ever so much for your time. Michael Bailey there, Norwich City correspondent for The Pink Un and Norwich Evening News. Coming up, we've done the red half of Sheffield. We're switching over to the Owls for the blue side of things because they're feeling blue. The manager is leaving them and everyone's in tears. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio, and we're talking Sheffield Wednesday. It's all been kicking off in the last week or so because we're hearing that Steve Bruce could be jumping ship, probably will be jumping ship, to the vacant managerial post at Newcastle. And people aren't happy. I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Chris Holt, who's night editor of the Sheffield Star. Good evening, Chris. Thanks for joining me. What's the mood around Sheffield Wednesday this week?
It's fair to say there's a fair amount of anger, I think, from fans. I don't think people are particularly bothered that he's left. Obviously, they would rather he'd stayed, Steve Bruce, but I think it's just been the manner of it, really. That have upset Sheffield Wednesday fans.
So when you say the manner of it, what are we talking about? What's he done wrong?
Well, the way things panned out, the rumours started to come out sort of around last week that Newcastle United wanted him to come to take over from Rafa Benitez there. He never denied it. While our reporter was out speaking to him in Portugal, he never denied that he wanted the job. He kept very diplomatic in that respect, and then things sort of rumbled on. It looked like there was going to be a bit of a head-to-head between Desmond Chancery, the Sheffield Wednesday chairman, and Mike Ashley over compensation, and it looked like we'd already got to that point. And then Steve Bruce put his resignation in, saying, which basically, I think it was an attempt to force a hand. It basically said, that's it, no matter what, I'm off here. And so at this stage, you know, we're only a few weeks away from the season starting. That's why people have got annoyed.
Is there a feeling as well that the club were very patient with Steve Bruce when they hired him? He was on holiday watching the cricket. They let him stay out there. Is there a feeling because of that that he possibly owes you a bit more respect?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday fans were very defensive of Steve Bruce whenever he took a bit of criticism, notably from Ruud Gullit and Danny Murphy on BBC when they were covering the Sheffield Wednesday-Chelsea FA Cup match early on in the season when Bruce hadn't quite taken over yet. He was a couple of weeks away from doing so. And they were critical of him not coming in and taking the role straight away. Wednesday fans really understood why this was the case and why Steve Bruce wanted that little bit of extra time to sort of recharge his batteries and do what he wanted to do and not be rushing back into the job. Everybody was very, very much on board with that. They were happy for that to be the case because they wanted him. They felt like he was the right man for the job. And then on top of that, he's made a few changes. The backroom staff, obviously, he's brought his own men in. I wrote a piece the other day. He seemed to get a lot more autonomy than previous managers. And I think Chan Siri had an awful lot of trust in him. The fact that he's won so many promotions as a manager, Steve Bruce, that Chan Siri felt, right, this is the man for me. I'm going to listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. Whatever he wants to do, I'll try and do it as best I can. And so these changes come in and then all of a sudden he's gone.
How much does this now derail pre-season for Wednesday as well? Because they're presumably just getting into things and now the manager could be off.
Well, from what I can gather, the mood in the camp hasn't changed. Everything seems to be fine. These sort of things, pre-season training, they're planned well in advance. So they've probably still got the plans that they were going to do anyway. Lee Bullen is the first team coach. He's been there a long time at Sheffield Wednesday. And I suspect that he'll just carry on. And the players will just carry on. The only thing is, it's really awkward time and it's bad time. And they don't want to be hanging over them too long, not having a manager. Just, you know, a manager will come in, he might want to bring in some players. You're getting closer and closer to the transfer deadline. The season's only a few weeks away. It's not ideal, but as far as pre-season preparations are concerned at this stage, I don't think it's hampered them too much.
Okay, but surely still important to get the next man through the door very, very quickly. You're saying he could come from within, but we're hearing reports today that Gianfranco Zola could come in as boss. How likely is that?
What I will say about Chan Siri is you cannot second guess him. He's the most unpredictable man who's been around Sheffield Wednesday for as long as I've been here anyway. You could never guess what he's going to do. Now, what I will also say is he's never been one to be swayed by a sort of exotic name or a big name as Zola is from his playing days anyway, and he hasn't particularly set the world alight as a manager. So I would, like I say, you can't second guess. I mean, you never know what chance he's going to do, but I wouldn't think that would be a going and that would be a runner. And certainly from what I can gather, the fans didn't particularly warm to that idea either.
How important will it be for the club to bring in someone who the fans do warm to? Because there's going to be a bit of repair work to be done after the Bruce situation.
Well, I think the good thing is, whoever comes in, presumably it's somebody that they're happy with, he'll get a huge amount of backing because of what's just gone on. So there'll be a bit of a siege mentality in there, I think. The fans will rally round whoever comes in and really get behind them and push the team on, just simply because they've been... I nearly swore there. They've gone through the hill a wee bit this past week. So that's the one thing that whoever comes in is going to have in their favour. There'll certainly be a bit of a rallying cry coming from the stands, at least. As far as the type of manager that they want, I think whenever Bruce came in, there was a feeling, yeah, we've had two foreign managers here, neither of them particularly well known. We know what we've got with this man. Well, they thought that anyway. They thought they knew what they got. I still think that Sheffield Wednesday fans would prefer to have a British manager, or at the very least someone who knows the Championship and English football generally. And I would suggest that will probably be the way that Chan Siri goes. But again, like I said earlier, you just don't know what he's going to do.
And in terms of the transfer rumours regarding players, we're hearing that Lucas Joao has handed in a transfer request. Would the fans be sorry to see him go?
Lucas has been one of those players who, on his day, is unplayable. But those days come seldom, I think. There's definitely a player in there. And maybe with a run in the team, he could be excellent. In fact, I have no doubt about that. But it's just an inconsistency about Lucas. I remember whenever he first came to the club, and he did really well at first, Carlos Carvalho said, he got a call up to the Portuguese national team, and then was dropped pretty quickly after that by Carlos. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, Carlos said, I think Lucas needs to keep his feet on the ground. And there's a sense that that still exists, that he sort of needs to mature a little bit and sort of just remember that he's got to work hard and keep going and, you know, not to have a sense of his own worth, really, too high a sense.
And in terms of replacements or general strengthening, are there any potential signings that the club could be making to give the fans something to actually smile about?
Well, they've had this soft embargo hanging over them, which has kept a lid on that. They've brought a couple of players in who were slightly long-term planned by Steve Bruce. I don't know if there will be any more coming in. If they do, they'll be coming in on a free. And so they're going to be scouring around for that. There certainly isn't a great deal of money around to be buying players, so they'll be looking for a few bargains here and there. But I would suggest that transfer activity will be, I wouldn't say non-existent, but there won't be much of it towards the end of the season, I wouldn't think.
Here's one for you then. If you're looking for bargains, Ravel Morrison has just signed for Sheffield United on a free. Yeah. I think that's insanity, but would you have had him at Wednesday?
Oh, certainly.
Really?
In fact, yeah. I think that's very much a gamble worth taking. Sheffield United have played a blinder there. I think he's clearly a very, very talented footballer.
He's also 26, right? Is he not missed the boat?
Well, what you would think there is that everyone has said that the Ravel Morrison's problem has been himself, really. No one has ever doubted the talent that he has, but it was attitude that really kept him back. And from what I can gather, there seems to be a bit of maturity has come into him over the past year or so. And certainly Sheffield United has been very impressed by his attitude in the few weeks that he's had there on trial. And they've signed him on a year's contract. If it doesn't work, he's not going to be paid a huge amount of money, I wouldn't think. So if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And it's a gamble worth taking, I think.
Well, that is quite something as suggestions go. I still think it's a risk, I'll be honest, Michael. But interesting to hear you say you'd definitely go for it. Lovely to speak to you. Thank you for your time and good luck for the season. Michael Bailey there, Sheffield Wednesday correspondent and indeed night editor at the Sheffield Star. A club there who could have their manager poached, but spare a thought for those clubs who could have their players poached. It's always a nervy time to be a Brentford fan as we approach the transfer window. The Vultures are circling for Neil Morpay. They've already pounced on Ezri Konsa. Coming up, we'll be finding out, can they hold on to their star men?
This is Love Sport.
The transfer rumour mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow. And earlier in the show, we heard from Sheffield Star columnist Kevin Gage that the Blades would really like a move for Neil Morpay. He described it as an expensive gamble, but a gamble worth taking. Frightening words to hear as a Brentford fan. I'm pleased to say I'm joined on the line by one now. Dave Lane of Besotted and the Brentford fan show on Love Sport Radio is with me on the line. Dave, can you hang on to Morpay?
Oh, there's a question, Johnny. Yes, I think you can for a little bit. He was given a few days away rest where he came back from the Austrian training camp and he was given a few days just to think about the situation. From what I'm hearing, we've offered him an extended contract and a pay rise. Whether that is enough to keep him at Brentford, we'll see. You know, I don't think my hunch is he's not going to go to Sheffield United because they don't seem to be in interested in any kind of bidding war. But there's enough suitors out there really for him to be for his gaze to be drawn elsewhere. So, but you know, there was a lot of pictures of him today on the training ground. He looked happy. You know, the players around him look pleased for him to be there. So I just think as a vibe, there's a chance we might keep him until January. So, you know, but anything could happen, to be honest with you, mate.
Is there a possibility that if Morpay went to Sheffield United, that could be a total waste of time for him? We saw Carlin Grant leave Charlton for Huddersfield. Huddersfield got relegated from the Premier League. Charlton got promoted into the Championship. He'll now be playing in exactly the same division he would have been anyway. Why would Morpay go up just to be in a relegation fight?
Money.
well, yeah.
You know, to be honest with you, you know, I think Brentford's wage when the ceiling has gone up. I think Pontus Janssen's broken that. From what I'm hearing, he's on £20,000 a week, which is something that, you know, we've never been involved anywhere near. So, you know, I've got a feeling Mackie Benham and Brentford Club are absolutely going to go for it this year. Neil Morpay is central to that. We're not reliant on him completely. You know, obviously, he's a proven goal scorer now, and he's part of the bigger picture. I'm not personally going to go into panic mode if he were to go, because he's going to have to go for 20 million plus, and that does buy you a lot of player. Mm. Or in our case, it buys you five players. and you know, that's the way we work. And you know, there are people in our fan base that are going to hear these words and say, oh well, you know. It's wrong to say it, but you have to have trust in our directors of football, because, you know, apart from one season, time and time again, they've proven that they can go into the transfer market and pick talent that's, you know, valued below what it really is worth. And with our coaching and our expansive football, we can breathe value into that. And you know, it does create churn. And sometimes that's not stable. And, you know, as a fan, you want sometimes to keep your best players. But, as we've seen with every concert's gone to Aston Villa for 12 million quid plus sell-ons. And that's enabled us to buy pretty much all of our transfer window, where we've gone out there and we've bought players from Celta Vigo, Fiorentina. You know, we've bought Barnes as Player of the Year. We've bought Leeds United's Player of the Year. You know, this is a big transfer window for Brentford, and you know, the DOFs are doing a sterling job, and anyone that says otherwise is deluded.
I want to talk about a certain Swedish centre-half in just a moment, but quickly before that, out of 10, how likely is Morpay to stay?
I'd probably say out of 10, 5.
Okay, we've got a chance.
That's proper sitting on the fence, because you know, I think he's equally likely to stay than he is to go. And you know, the rumours I'm hearing are that his agent asked for an £800,000 bonus on top of any transfer deal that was going for Morpay, and that frightened them off. So I don't know. I got a feeling that. I've got a feeling he actually wants to stay. And he could go down in Brentford folklore.
Yeah, and it's a historical season.
He could go down in history. It's one season. Or I would say
January.
If there was a back phone line from me to Neil Morpay, I'd say, stay till January, mate, and then let's see what happens. Take your pay rise, take your extended transfer, give it till January and see where we're at.
Yeah, they're still going to want you at that point. Let's talk about Jansen then, because you said, well, a reported roughly 20 grand a week is something that Brentford haven't done in the past. I saw this and my first response was, that's a fantastic signing. My second response was, that is absolutely hilarious. And my third was, that's really not a very Brentford signing, because you don't pay big money, as you say, but you don't often sign 28-year-olds. So where has this come from?
I think it's come from them identifying where our weaknesses were last year. You know, it was obvious that offensively we were great. Defensively, we were porous. And, you know, it's a fact. You know, we've missed, you know, when Cameron Mococho was playing in, you know, defensive midfielder, we looked more solid. But now we seem to have sorted out the spine of the team. Okay? It's clearly, you know, they've identified the fact that, you know, we leak goals at important times during each game, really. You know, it's almost like when things went for us, if you go all out attack, everything's good because we're going to score more than we concede, but it's how we conceded. And we had a weak goalkeeper. You know, I'm not going to slag Dan Bantley off too much, because, you know, I think he will come good again. But we've got a new goalkeeper, we've got a new back, we've got, you know, three new defenders, we've got defensive midfielder, and things that, you know, that they've clearly identified players that can help them do that. And, you know, they are Danish and Swedish, so we've gone the Scandinavian route once more, and that's why we're going to be called Brentfjord from now on.
Oh dear, Dave, come on. Did you, talking of Scandinavians, did you take pleasure in the absolute fury and disgust of the Leeds fans on Twitter when Pontus Jansen signed for Brentford, of all people?
It's difficult for me to say this on live radio.
Well, that's a yes, like, then.
There was a fair few expletives. You know, so you know, I will be, I'm savvy to the fact that I can't say certain words. So,
yeah.
So
we I are know the hashtag you're thinking of.
So there is a hashtag, teams like Brentford.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't be losing to teams like Brentford. And now there's this, we can understand why he went, but not to effing Brentford.
Yeah.
You know, it's that now. And we got an exclusive range of T-shirts now that say effing Brentford. we will you know, donate the money to charity at the end of the season for the ones that we do sell.
Wonderful stuff.
But it's there's a certain amount of, like, denial from Leeds fans. All of a sudden, they're like, this player of the season is a liability now. But they weren't saying that 6 months ago. You know, you are absolutely 100% right, Johnny. It's a curveball from the Brentford camp.
Yeah,
they've obviously gone there. He's worth the money to plug this big hole. And, you know, he's 100%. He will give you 100% every game. That's what he's pledged. You know, there's a risk, and they've obviously taken it. So I think it's a risk that's well worth taking.
Well, it's a great signing, and it's a funny one as well. Dave, lovely to speak to you as ever, mate. Thank you for your time. Dave Lane there of Besotted, and of course the Brentford Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio. I think we forget sometimes when we're caught up in the fury of the transfer rumour mill that actually that can be what a transfer is about. Obviously, the primary concern is to strengthen your team and to make sure that your weaknesses are ironed out. But there is also an element of chat there, of competitiveness and of wind-up. Because, listen, Brentford obviously haven't signed Pontus Jansen for a laugh. They haven't signed him to annoy Leeds. They've signed him because he's the best centre-half in the Championship. But the fact that, having signed him, they can then give it absolutely huge. makes it all the more appealing. And listen, that's a serious, serious signing. 22 Sweden caps, absolutely imperious, 6 foot plenty, 6 foot, I think, more than me, which is more than anyone needs to be. And actually, as Dave was saying, if they can hold on to Morpay, it's the last ever season at Griffin Park. It could be a spectacular one for Brentford. Wonderful stuff.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.